to help help Todd take up the offering. Just a couple of things, couple of reminders. Next Sunday, the 17th, is our Sunday school or church picnic. There will not be church here at any time next Sunday, okay? Services out there will start at 11, and then immediately following that will be the picnic, and I'm sure they've probably got some things organized and games and things like that that they're going to do. And then I think it's the following Saturday. Am I correct on that with the J.T. Koontz?
Yes, 23rd.
Okay, the 23rd. What time?
6 o'clock.
6, okay. There will be food sold and things like that, and then it'll be the sing. The sing will be going on. That's on the 23rd, which is, like I say, the following Saturday. So just keep that in mind. Next Sunday, no church here. The Sunday school picnic. The following Saturday is the J.T. Koontz Memorial Gospel Sing. It'll be over in the other building, and that's at 6 o'clock. So come early, and so you can get you a seat. Gold City, am I right? Gold City,
yes,
will be here, and Chris and his family will be singing. So make plans to attend if at all possible. All right? We'll ask our ushers to come. We're going to take up the offering. We're going to worship the Lord that way. And then we'll worship the Lord through song and testimony. All right. Rex, if you would, ask God's blessing on the offering, please, in this service today.
Holy Father in heaven, we're thankful for the privilege to be in the house of the Lord one more time.
Amen. Amen.
Father, if there be one person here that doesn't know Christ, we pray and we plead, Father, please, touch them. Give them a call.
Yes.
Before we get too late.
Amen. Amen.
Bless this offering, Father, that be used for its intended use. And in Jesus' holy name we pray.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. the choir's going to sing. We just want to, if you're visiting with us today, we want to welcome you. You set your feet under God's table and enjoy the service today. Enjoy God's blessings. Here at Gold Town, we worship in many different ways, and so you worship the Lord today in spirit and in truth. And as always, our altars are always open. If you would ever have a need during whatever is going on, you feel free to come, and somebody will join you here and pray with you. So we're going to worship the Lord through song.
Let the blessing flow, the blessing flow. I sweat in my sleep. I get up of a morning, throw the covers off, and Meredith says, "Oh my Lord, you're freezing me to death." I just can't help it. It's just us Koontz men, I reckon. We all sweat. But my pores are clear, though. Hallelujah. All right, get your hymnal turned to 137 as the choir goes down. 137.
Sing the wondrous love of Jesus, sing His mercy and His grace. In the mansions bright and blessed, He'll prepare for us a place when we all get to heaven. What a day of rejoicing that will be when we all see Jesus. While we walk the pilgrim pathway, clouds will overspread the sky. But when traveling days are over, not a shadow, not a sign. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory.
They just sprung this one on me. So.
See, now he's starting to sweat.
Yeah, but mine's nerves.
Shine down on me,
Let your love shine through me in the night. Lead me, Lord, I'll follow. Anywhere you open up the door. And let your word speak to me. Show me what I've never seen before.
Lord, I want to be a witness. You can take what's wrong and make it right.
Shine down on me. Let your love shine through me in the night. Day star, shine down on me. Let your love shine through me in the night. Shine down on me. Let your love shine through me in the
Anybody have a testimony? All right. Bless you.
He made it back up here to West Virginia from Tampa. Pray for him. He's unsaved. His girlfriend's unsaved. They're not married. Pray for him. I do my heart just breaks. I love him. I had him till he was 3 years old. Misty left, got married. I had him. I raised him till he was three. So remember him in prayer. Remember my grandkids and my kids and my great grandchildren.
All right.
Remember me and Ed.
All right.
Amen.
Amen. All right. We're ready for the word. Pastor Al's going to come. Todd, would you ask God's blessing on the message this morning and the anointing?
Most gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, it's a privilege, Lord, to be in your house once again this morning, Father. And we thank you for the presence that we've already felt this morning.
Yes.
Lord, as unworthy as we are, Father, we know that you still love us. We thank you for that long suffering. Father, we thank you for your Son Jesus.
Yes.
For that precious blood, Father. That, Lord, as undeserving as I know I am, Father.
Amen.
Lord, you give your only Son, Father, just to pay our sin debt. No greater love is that, Father, and we just thank you for that. Father, I just pray that you'll be with Pastor Al as he comes forth. And Lord, just fill him with your words. Help us to forget about things, Father, of the outside world just for a while, to focus on what it is you have for us today. Father, I pray, Lord, for the one that might be here that don't know you, that don't even know what this prayer is about. Lord, I pray, Father, that you'll speak to that.
Amen.
Help them,
amen.
Father, to swallow their pride and make their way to the altar, whether it's here or whether it's home.
Amen.
Lord, speak to them.
Amen.
Just continue to bless us, Father, and we thank you and we praise you. It's in your precious Son's name, Jesus, we pray. Amen.
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 Amen. Amen.
Bless the Lord. Amen. Bless you, Ron. Good to be here. Good to be here. Good to be here. Amen. If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn with me. And Mike was all over my message, all over it. And you turn with us to the book of Proverbs, if you would. We had a good time. We felt your prayers. And he never fails. This week has been probably the last few weeks. It's been a time for the president, for governors, for congressmen, for mayors, first responders, all have gotten involved. The storms are coming. And some that chose not to leave. They haven't left. They said, we're going to ride it out. And I thought, my, wouldn't it be wonderful if our nation, 30th chapter of the book of Proverbs, if our nation would get that excited or concerned. And don't get me wrong. Please don't get me wrong. I'm concerned for those people. We kept on saying on our vacation, thank the good Lord that we live in West Virginia. We may not be the richest, the most popular, but it's a wonderful place to live. These folks, I'm sure, every time the storms start coming, they get nervous and worried. Let's pray. Father, thank you. A beautiful morning, Lord, and we're able to be in your house. You gave us a good time. We've enjoyed ourselves, Lord. We rested. And Father, just to hear the waves, our Father, is so peaceful to me. Help us with the message, our Father. Help us, our Father, that I'll move out of the way and you would have complete control. We ask it, our Father, in your name, for your glory and honor, in Jesus' name. Amen. Proverbs 30th chapter. And when I said Mike was all over my message, listen to it. 30th, 14th verse. You pray for me. There is a generation whose teeth are as swords and their jaw teeth as knives to devour the poor from all off the earth and the needy from among men. Think about that. But let me go back to three other generations that it mentions. Verse 11 of that verse. There is a generation that curseth their father and doth not bless their mother. There is a generation that are pure in their own eyes, yet is not washed from their filthiness. There is a generation, how lofty are their eyes, and their eyelids are lifted up. For just a little bit with the help of the Lord and your prayers. There was a generation in the early part of our nation that left a foreign country and come to America and wanted God to be exalted and given the religious freedom. And they began to work together to give us some laws. But through it all, they were looking to God for divine wisdom. During the week, they would work on putting this thing together for this land that we call America. But during the weekend, they would have services the same place where they had come together
And if I'm not mistaken, in the 1700 year, the Supreme Court ruled, and probably Greg or you scholars can correct me on this if I'm wrong, in the 1700 year, thereabouts, the Supreme Court ruled that this was a religious nation, and these people wanted to worship him. You don't hear that from the Supreme Court. But everything that they bring up today, it's against the church and God's people. But it's no wonder to me, you know, as little that I know in the history and so forth, it's no wonder to me that God blessed America. And blessed America, and blessed America till it became one of the greatest nations. What has happened? See, they were not perfect. No, there was flaws in their lives. But they wanted God to be acknowledged. They wanted God to be revered. They wanted God to be their king. That's why God began to bless America. They wanted their children to be brought with the instructions, not only in learning their ABCs, but the instructions of the Word of God. No wonder God continued to bless. They wanted them to learn from the Word of God, the instructions it had. So our nation started well. But here, in what I've read to you, it talks about four different generations. You think about them. Yeah. A picture of four kinds of evil men or people. 11 says, verse 11 says, disrespectful. Do you see that today in our world? I was talking to some policemen, and I talk to them often, and I don't want you to think I'm bragging, but I think sometimes they're afraid of me. They think what I'm going to do, but I said, can I have prayer with you? And they thanked me for that. You know, I really don't know what's taking place. This was a generation that is wise according to the Word of God, but foolish, says the book. Romans 1 and 22, listen to it. And we've all have thought, buddy, nothing can get us down. Professing themselves to be wise. And they have become, that's Romans 1:22, they have become fools and void of understanding when they did not know God. They glorified him not as God. How can we expect God to bless us when we don't acknowledge him and ask him for direction and wisdom and understanding? The best thing that we can do for our families is bring them up in the fear and the admonition of the Lord Jesus Christ. As Mike taught on Noah, it said he found grace. He was perfect. And he was the one that feared God. Yet, after the flood, sin came into his life. The Bible says, ever knowing, but never coming to the saving knowledge of God. Not thankful. God has given us so many blessings. Even when things don't go like we think they ought to go, Even when sickness comes our way, even when people that we love leave us suddenly, he said this in Philippians, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God concerning you. In everything. Yeah. Preacher, it's hard. I know it. I know it. But if you look at the man of God, as they began to build on God's foundation, through the hardships, through the blood and the sweat and the tears, they were thankful and grateful that they had been set out of bondage. They tried to change, according to this verse, the glory of God into the image. You see, they changed the truth of God into a lie. Served the creatures more than the Creator. That's what this generation did. Then the second generation, listen to it. In verse 12, this generation is religious, but it's lost. And you know what? That's so true. There's a way that seems right unto a man. And if he's not taught the fear of God, and if he doesn't use the Word of God as his roadmap, and if he doesn't look for the Lord's instructions and watch out for the danger signs. Now, anybody today, you know, they try to tell us that we've been brought in the Word of God, that we've given our heart to the Lord, that everybody's going to go to heaven. That's not according to the Word of God. In Noah's time, only those that were saved was the ones in the ark. And in this time, only those that know Jesus as their personal Savior, don't matter the religious affiliation, no matter how good you are, how intelligent, how brilliant you are in your mind, you would think that the more that we read and the more that we see that God has blessed us with, that we would begin to realize, Mike mentioned the eclipse. You know what God's trying to do? Oh, someone said, yeah, he's trying to wake us up. Yeah, but he also wants us to know that he's in charge and he's in control of it all. Yeah. That's exactly what he's trying to do. So I look at that as a blessing. I said, Lord, don't understand a lot of it. Don't understand the height. Don't understand the distance of it all. But I know that, Lord, you are in control. 2 Timothy says, listen to this, concerning the religious. Tim and I went to a restaurant, had a very good dinner, and I almost knew without a shadow of a doubt that that fellow was religious, because I think maybe he was the owner, I'm not sure, but he had a great, big, beautiful gold cross. And I thought, well, looks like God's blessing him, whether he knows him or not, because that restaurant was full. Timmy and I thought maybe it just might be a hole in the ground. But it was delicious. Probably the best meal that Timmy and I ate. Then I took my leftovers home and ate it later. Yeah. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. No power. Void of understanding. Honor the Lord with their lips. You see. Many times, the men that I used to work with, or the men that I see, you know what? They would be cursing. And then I'd try to rebuke them in love. And they said, well, I belong to church. Yeah. It's not what the obituary says about you. It's not even what the neighbors say about you. It's not what your family says about you. I can't live to nobody's standard. I don't measure my commitment to the Lord by no one but His Word, the Holy Spirit, and God. And I know that I've got to live it. Don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to ease it up. But you see, God changed my life. God made me a brand new creature. And I don't hardly say. People says, well, do you belong to church? I said, no. I have made my commitment and I have a relationship with Jesus Christ. That has made the difference in my heart. But a lot of people that Timothy was talking about, they honor me with their lips. They honor me with their lips. Anybody can profess, but everybody doesn't know Him. But their hearts, actions. I got called tonight, probably have told you this. Inspector called me in. They thought that I did some wrong at the post office. And I mean, they start searching my history, my files. And he said, I can't find nothing in it. I said, that you won't. But I said, I don't want you to do that only. What I want you to do is go to my surroundings, where I live. I want you to talk to people that I converse with daily, that I work with. All I want you to do is just mention that, not that I'm self-righteous, but I want to tell you from my heart, I want to live what I preach. I want to live what I say that I am. I don't only want to be a doer, I don't want to only be a hearer, rather, but a doer of the word. And I don't want to bring a reproach to His marvelous, glorious, powerful name. And I need to live a life above the reproaches. They're going to come anyway because they've already labeled us and they call us fanatics. They call us right-wingers. They have all kinds of things to say about us. But I've got news for you. I've got news for you. I met a man that was perfect, that never sinned or guile was found in their lips, that was always found doing good, opening the eyes of the blind, bringing the dead back forth to life, feeding the multitude. And guess what? They crucified him. Yeah, they crucified him. And you know what? This is what he said in his closing hours. On the cross, he said to one, remember me when you comest into the kingdom. And he said, this day thou shalt be with me in paradise. Think about that. Think about that. Yeah. Others said, just curse God and die. Yeah. But their hearts are far from me. Lip service is nothing but form and a fashion. I think I've also told you this. The inspector said, well, I can't find nothing, but he said, I'm going to tell you what happened. And he told me, and I said, Inspector, this is what happened. And they're the FBI, the post office. They know more about it. As soon as he said, how's things in El Paso? I thought, that's where I was born. I said, how do you know I've been in El Paso? See? So I knew that he knew all about me. But the one that I serve, my hairs are numbered to him. Yeah. He knows my ups and downs. He knows my besetting sins. He knows my weaknesses. He knows my failures. But in spite of them all, he still loves me. That's why I'm glad that I made a commitment to Jesus Christ. You can have a form and a fashion. And sometimes we are guilty as Christians. When someone comes to the altar and cries and pleads and pleads with the Lord. Probably a lot of us think, I wonder what they have done wrong. Instead of saying, thank you, Lord, you put it in their heart that they want to confess to you the things that they need in their life. That's what we have to do. And not only that, try to encourage them, you see. The Word of God says concerning having a form of godliness. Once again, Proverbs said it. My, there's so much good news, so much wisdom, so much knowledge in the book of Proverbs that came from the lips, probably, or the writings of the wisest man outside of Christ Jesus. But this is what he said. There is a way that seems right. You see, it's not all that says, Lord, Lord, but it's he that doeth the will of God. You can come to church. You can look very religious. If you want to know about religion, the Pharisees and the Sadducees were very religious. They prayed. They fasted. They dressed different according to Josephus. I mean, they had a good outlook, you see. And one thing for sure, for all of us, not only you, your pastors, for all of us, we may fool some of the people, but we cannot fool the living God that knows all about us, you see. Then the third one says, there is a generation that is young, but it's dangerous. Timothy said to this, perilous times have come. I see the handwriting in all that's taking place in the world today. I see it. To me, I pray for them. But I said, Lord, I hope and pray that our eyes will be open. That you're telling us that these things would come to pass. That they would take place, that you warned us. And you gave Noah the instructions. And you gave the apostles, the prophets, the men of God, the instructions to tell us how that we ought to live. You see, to me, those that are young and full of vigor and vitality and think that they don't need the Lord, let me give you some advice. The younger that you come to him, the sooner that you commit your life to him and dedicate it to him and follow the instructions of this word, the better off you're going to be. Now, that's being successful. Get your degree if you want to. Go into the field if you want to. One of my only sister, I was going to say one of, but the only sister that I have left, one of our uncles, they said he wasn't the brightest one in the family. But let me tell you about him. Him and his, that was my aunt. He was married to. They raised their children in the house of the Lord. She always acknowledged him and served him. And you know what? God has went on to bless them and bless them and bless them. They both now are gone. And I thought of how much my father and his co-workers would make fun of him. They had nicknames for him. But oh, he honored the Lord. And God blessed him. He said, in the last days, perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of themselves, wanting to satisfy the flesh. Wanting to satisfy the appetites of the lust of the flesh. Why did David need another man's wife? He had concubines. He had wives. Yet, the lust of the eye and the pride of life. If I can't have her, I know what I'm going to do. He didn't say that. It's not recorded. But he looked. I've got news for you. Beauty. I see pretty women. I don't admire men. No. But I see pretty women. Now. But beauty, listen to me, is only skin deep. My wife and I, you know, we married young. Matter of fact, she's a lot younger than I am. And the cheerleaders and the twirlers, we see them now. And she said, Al, see that one? She was one of the prettiest girls in high school with me at DuPont High. He said, I wonder what has happened. I felt like saying it, but I didn't say it. Honey, ugly has taken over. They want to satisfy the flesh. It looks good. God said to that sweet lady, Eve, you're not to eat that. You're not to eat that. Because the day that you eat it, you die. Yeah. She had to have it. And she wasn't. You know what? I've noticed she gave it to Adam. So I asked some of my friends, oh, man, we're having such a good time when I was growing up. Oh, man, we're having a ball. We're going partying. That's good. Join us. So that I did not want to be left behind or called a square. Guess what? I joined them. It did not satisfy. It did not bring any peace. I have probably something that I don't know, maybe I look like crooked or a thief or what. They stopped me for ditching school now, ditching school. And the first thing that the cops asked me, where's your dope? I said, I don't have any. He said, all of you take dope. At that time, the biggest you can get was the weed. Marijuana. But you know what? I tried it. It didn't satisfy. I tried everything that the devil told me to try, and I tried it. I was like, I see these people, and sometimes I feel sorry for the dog. They put him on a leash, and that dog wants to go over here, maybe do his business. They jerk on him. That's what the devil was doing to me. I was under his claws, and I could have been, by the grace of God, one of those that have dwelled on drugs, on pills, on alcohol, on pornography. Oh, I haven't been a saint. But one thing for sure, I'm not going to tell you what I was, because it's all covered. And he's not going to remember them against me anymore. I was destroying the flesh. Yeah, and I would hope and hope and hope that I wouldn't get caught. And by the grace of God, I didn't. Except I had a mother, bless her heart. She must have had eyes here and eyes behind. Because when I'd come in, she's, what have you been into? I said, Mom, nothing. I know you have. I said, Mom, you're accusing me. What she don't know, and she died without me telling her that I was guilty. But I wasn't about to confess it. But it bothered me, and it was bringing me down, you see. men in this day and time, in the days of Noah, think about it. Men leaving. I don't understand this. I don't understand that. The natural use of women, burning in their lust one towards another, with another man or a woman, working that which is unseemly. I don't understand that. But let me say right there, bless the Lord, don't matter what you claim to be, whether you think that God made you wrong, that something went wrong, God loves you and He'll save you if you give Him the opportunity. He'll do it. It don't matter. He don't look at the color of skin. He wants you to come and surrender to Him, you see. We are almost at the stage that we're worse, if not surpassed it, the time of Sodom and Gomorrah. Do some searching on that. Do some searching on that. You see, boasters, proud, blasphemers, men's hearts failing for fear, for looking. Then there's a generation, and I'm getting ready to close. It's powerful, but afraid. Have you ever seen so much fear? Men live with fear. And one of my favorite verses in Isaiah 41:10. The Lord's helped me to memorize it. Yeah. He'll keep me. He'll guide me. He'll direct me from the storms, from the fears, you see. But this generation is so powerful. Yeah. They're threatened to ruin up our world. Just like seemingly Satan is trying to devour and destroy all of us, you see. Living with constant fear. I'm not going to tell you what Isaiah 41:10 says. You go read it for yourself. I've applied it to my life, you see. Fear about the future. Oh, my. What's going to happen? Afraid what tomorrow holds. He'll take care of the sparrow. Surely He can take care of you. The powers of heaven are shaking. I gave you four generations, but let me close with this one. I'd like to see our generation. I'd like to see our generation. Yeah. Whether it's 20 or 30 years, this present generation, I'd like to see it. The sight. We're going to turn back to America and to God and the principles and the Word of God and acknowledge Him that He can direct our path. I'm going to do that. And I'm going to pray as Chronicles 7:14 says, till I hear from heaven and He saves from sin and heal our people. We need healing. And this generation has the ability, has the strength, has the Word of God, has the shepherd of your soul, having at your disposal, if we would only humble ourselves and pray and seek His face and take our stand from the White House to the poorhouse. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Put us in jail if you want to. We'll just preach and pray there as Paul and Silas did. Do whatever you want to. You can destroy. You cannot destroy the soul. But you can destroy the body. And after a while, all of us are going to go the way of the earth. But we fear the one that's a threatening us, that's trying to do some damage to us. Our homes and our country, our churches, our communities need to turn back to the God of our fathers, you see. Put prayer back in homes. It's even been taken out of churches. The blood's been taken out of songbooks in churches. People just going through, forming a fashion. But in this generation that's upon us and it's closing in, God, I can guarantee you, God, Almighty God, not these false gods, not all these other little gods, but G-O-D will bless America when America blesses God.
Yeah.
We can, you know what the president say now? I'm not pushing politics on you. But I agree with it spiritually. Let's make America great again. Yeah. Let's make it get a hold of the horns of the altar. And we at GoTown can make that difference and turn the world upside down all around us and begin to, we're facing a revival in a couple of weeks. I don't want it to be just seven nights, six nights. I want it to be a revival that'll last like the last one. It was doing something. It was penetrating. It was waking us up. It was shaking us. And we need that in America. This generation is the one that can turn things around. Well, I said the law says, yeah. They said, now, you can't preach that name no more. They threatened to put them in jail. They threatened to take their lives. And he said, you be the judge of that. We're going to serve the true and the living God. God, our Father, we thank you. We thank you, Lord God, that we've got an awesome God, a mighty God, an everlasting God, from generations to generations, Lord God. There is hope for America when America begins to hope in God. Our Father, we ask you, Lord God, to undertake and, Father, help me to apply this message, Lord God, to be instant in season. When the Holy Spirit speaks, Lord, that we'll mind him. When we, our Father, ask to do something by the Holy Spirit, that we'll be obeying you, Lord God. Father, I want to see, Lord God, us come alive and be that lively, lively church, Lord God. We started with, Lord God, hardships, troubles, Father, oh, dear Lord, doubt, but only faith, our Father, and God brought us this far. So you help us, our God, in this generation. What has happened in the former, Lord God, that's history. But today, Lord God, let's determine, our Father, I'm going to serve the Lord. And if I live, it's going to be for God. And if I die, he's going to take me home. But our Father, I want to see a change in this present generation. These people are, Father, Lord God, that are living with the fear of the storms. I can understand that, Lord God. I can understand that. These are, Father, Lord God, in Houston that have been left, Lord God, without homes and families. I can understand that, Lord God, and we'll pray for them. We've been praying for them. And our Father, donations are wonderful. And Father, all these other things that are needed are wonderful. But Lord God, what we need in America is find us a place to cry out to you until we hear from heaven and God, you begin to heal our land. We ask it in Jesus' name. For his sake, amen. Amen.
Let's all stand and get your hymnal turned to 52, 52.
Have you a heart that's weary, tending? Are you a soul that's seeking rest from the burden you
for my family. And I want to tell you this, and I'll dismiss you. Vicky, Timmy, and myself, you know, we went and had a good time, enjoyed ourselves. I had the best chauffeur. Yeah, he drove. And I just sit there lollygag at the weather, the people, you know, wonder where they're all going. But we ate out different places. Now, if I don't tell you this, my darling daughter has already been telling it, so let me tell it to you, okay? Timmy had ate at a place called Abuelos, which is grandpa or grandfather. And he said, I want to eat there. It's a Mexican restaurant. He said, I want to eat there. I said, fine. Good-looking restaurant, you know, three different kinds of hot sauce. Good meal. It was good. I ordered what I thought I'd like. They did too. Well, we got to the end of it, and I have a problem. I guess I'm going to have to go see the doctor. I don't know what it is, but certain things that I eat seem like everything that I eat. I start sneezing and sneeze and sneeze and sneeze so that I have to go out. I excuse myself, and I went to the restroom. Well, I didn't sneeze. But my stomach was gurgling. I said, oh, my stomach. With Mexican food? Oh, my Lord. And I just ate it. It was so good, you know. Well, you know, Vicky and Timmy worry. Rosalie, what? I said, I'm fine. And I said, my stomach just upset. So Tim, being a good scout, he had a couple of plastic bags. And he put him up there, said, just in case. And he was driving, and I began to vomit and vomit and vomit. Now, with Mexican food. Yeah. Remember tonight, the service? Brother Aaron's going to be preaching. Remember to sign up on the prayer list. Go ahead, Ron.
I have one more now. These are just, there's going to be a one call go out and remind you of this, but these are,
dessert. Amen.
Let's close, and I'm not going to dismiss. I like the spirit. I felt good, and I want to say this. I sure hope that Chris Kuntz does not sweat like this when he gets old. I thought for a while he's trying to run for the border or something, you know. You don't know what that means, do you? Okay. God bless you. You're dismissed.